Big stream you today?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks, brother.
Lord, we just bow our heads before you today, Lord, and we just thank you for sending us Grant to talk to us, Lord. We just pray that your Holy Spirit will fill him with wisdom and understanding and discernment, Lord, and to convey your message to us today, Lord. We just thank you for his availability, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, that we can come before you today, Lord, at your feet to be taught from you directly, Lord,
yes,
through the Holy One. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jim. Thanks, brother. All right. I think probably now you have the Bible reading and then someone preaches from the Bible passage. Is that right? Well, to save us a bit of time, is it okay if I just tell you where the Bible passage is and then we go through a few verses and I read them out and then we talk about them and then we do the next few verses rather than repeat myself? Okay. So, if we turn to John chapter 15, I really want to branch out with you people today because it's the vine, the branches. So John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. Now, just for my benefit, who has never heard this story before about Jesus saying, I'm the true vine, my father's, you know, the gardener. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Is anyone here who's never heard that story before? You heard it this morning. You did. Aren't the kids great? I had no idea what they're going to come out with this morning. Get out there and I think, look, I'm just going to go of it. You know, that was called my chicken talk. I was just winging it. But moving on. Today's message is actually called being connected to Jesus. Because when you're connected to something, it shows. And so in particular, it's going to show that we actually bear his fruit, which is actually nicer than chocolate. But let me start with an illustration. True story, many years ago, a Christian church, I think it was in Africa, and they were worshipping the Lord. And some terrorists came in and threw some hand grenades into the congregation. And the real hand grenades, and then they raced out. The next day, the police were cleaning up the bodies that had been killed. And they were really surprised about how many people were there and how few people were killed. When I understand hand grenades, as you know, it comes out all the little bits of shrapnel and goes everywhere and gets you. Because people didn't have much time to think about it. They didn't expect hand grenades to be thrown in. But a number of people just threw themselves on top of the hand grenades to allow it to go off in themselves to save the people around them. So today I brought a couple of real hand grenades just to see if it works in this church. You know, so, but imagine if that did happen. I don't know how many of you guys would grab someone else and put them on top of the hand grenade, right? You know, which I'd probably do. I'd get Jim and just pop them down there and say, look, I want you to be more like Jesus. Here you go, right? Or how many of us would actually be just natural to say, well, Jesus gave his life for me and I should give my life for my brethren, okay? And so that's just normal. And these people, that was where they're at in their maturity, which is quite amazing. Now, the context behind our passage today is it's not the best day for Jesus. He's just had a meal with his disciples where they're all having a great time. And he basically says to them, guys, one of my close people here are going to betray me. In actual fact, they couldn't work out who. Now, next to him, he had some people he really trusted. Okay? One was John, because we know that, because Peter actually says to John, ask him. He said, someone's going to betray him. Who is it? And so John leans over and asks Jesus. So we know John was next to it. And obviously John deserves to be there because obviously he's such a great disciple and he wrote many books of the Bible. And of course another trusted friend of Jesus was on the other side of him. Can one work out who that was? Yep, Judas Iscariot. Okay, trusted friend. And so when Jesus actually said, someone's going to betray me, no one looked at John. And no one looked at Judas because they were the two people with the positions of honor at that meal. So if anyone was going to betray Jesus, that wouldn't be one of those two people. In actual fact, he even said, Jesus said, look, the one who's going to betray me is someone who dips their bread in my dish, okay, my bowl here. So they had to be arm's length away from him. That's how we know where Judas was, and he dipped his bread in there and went, nice. And they still didn't get it. Even when Judas went out, no one said, oh, it'll be Judas. He's a rat bag. They said afterwards, But at the time, they thought, oh, we must be going to help out the poor people, or, you know, help them have the Passover meal and everything else. So he's a good guy. He's doing something. He's doing something for Jesus. So we're not going to worry about that guy because he's so cool. And Jesus' heart's been broken because his friend has prophesied in the Old Testament, the one who dips in my dish, a close friend, is going to betray me. And he did. But Jesus doesn't worry about being upset. He keeps on trying to comfort his disciples. And he said, I'm going to go away, but don't worry. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So you're not going to be orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. I love you guys. I really do. Before that, he washed everyone's feet, including Judas's feet. And he knew where everyone's feet were going to go to. But he still loved them. And finally, he gets to a point of thinking, okay, Judas is gone. He leaves, going to the Garden of Gethsemane where he's going to be arrested. He knows. And you can imagine him seeing a vineyard on the way. And he decides, I want to teach them something really important. I want to teach them that, look, it's going to be hectic, really hectic. But look, if you stay connected with me, you're going to bear such amazing fruit for me. And in particular, Jesus had already said, a new commandment I give to you. Because in the Old Testament, we're meant to love God and love others. But now he's set the standard. Love others as I've loved you. So if you think you're pretty good, Jesus has set the standard. So my first point today comes from verses 1 to 4. So if you look at them with me as I read them, I'm reading from the NIV. What translations do you normally go from here? NIV, because I know NIV is nearly infallible version. Okay, so it's pretty good. But someone else, I know someone picked me up on this the other day. I was preaching this last Sunday night at the church in Tyree. And I said, you know, remain in me and, you know, or remain in you. And one of the people said, oh, and my translation says abide. And then it was really close, like, you live in me, I live in you, which actually that's what it means. And I said, straight off the top of my head, I said, see, so like in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, when it talks about, I stand at the door and knock, and he who answers, I'll abide with him and he'll abide with me. That's talking to Christians at a church where they've actually forgotten that they're connected with Jesus. They've forgotten that the Holy Spirit is in them to live with them so they can bear fruit for God. And he's like a wake-up call. Let me in. You're shutting me out. And people do that, don't they? Obviously not Baptists, but other people do. That's why I like the Baptist church. All these people say, you know, I'm Presbyterian. I say, where's that in the Bible? Okay? You say, John the Baptist. See, you got something going. Yeah, right on. So verses 1 to 4 says this. This is Jesus speaking. And remember, he's at the worst place in his life. Shortly after this, when he does his prayer, he sweats blood because he's so stressed out. But he's so focused, not on himself, but on encouraging his followers. So amazing. That's love, isn't it? Agape love, selfless love, thinking about the other person. I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Another translation for prunes actually cleans, which makes more sense with the next verse. So that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. That's why prayer is so important. I pray a lot between Tyree and Warhope every week. And the great thing is, I'm not like you, okay? I'm sinful, all right? I'm not perfect. You know, I worry about things. Last year we had this guy called Gordon. He was in charge of casuals at the school. And he and I got on so well. He was great. And I went from being, I think, the bottom casual to the top casual with him. And I thought, this is great. And then the position came up and he didn't want it. So a lady from Sydney took the position. And I thought, what happens if she doesn't give me any casual work? Because I work there at the moment on a Wednesday. I do a period of scripture. And then if I get casual work for the rest of the day, I'm dealing with kids, just talking to them, And they know I'm the Christian guy. They never see me as a casual teacher. They say, oh, we have the scripture teacher teaching maths today or English. It's just so cool. And so this lady sent me a text the other day, and I thought, oh, that's great. What's she going to say? She said, rather than me contact you each week, why don't you just have Wednesday casual every Wednesday for the rest of the year? And I'm thinking, yeah, I think I might do that. Okay? Which is amazing. And I'm there last week. So every period, I'm there with the kids. And God is so in control. Talking about being connected to the vine, we're going to have fruit bearing for God, which is his love. I walk past this lady who's another casual teacher. Never met her before in my life. And she's wearing this nice hat. And I'm very superficial. And so I said, nice hat. And she said, oh, thanks very much. Then later on, I'm down at the ag plot because that's the place I really dig to be, right? You know, and I dig it if you dig it, you know. And I'm down there, and this lady comes down with her class to do something, and she sees me, and I say, oh, how are you? And she's, oh, one of my children is really addicted to game at the moment, not going to school. And she started sharing. And I'm thinking, I just said, how are you? Because I don't care. Like everyone else. You have to tell me your life story. And she said, you know, and I've been praying about it. And I thought, which is very rare for me to do that, but I did, and I thought, maybe she knows I'm the scripture guy, so she can use language like I've prayed about it. But she didn't know that. But God did. So I said, you do know I'm the scripture teacher, right? And she said, no. And I thought, okay, do you mind if I pray for you? And so there I'm down the ag plot, being paid by the education department, right? And I'm praying for this teacher, which is really cool. Now, it happens. Then I went to sport in the afternoon, and I made the mistake again. I asked one of the teachers, I don't even know his name, you know, and I said, how are you? And he said, oh, look, let me tell you. And he started telling me about some problem with the bank. And I'm thinking, these people are opening up to me. Why? Because they know I represent Jesus in the school. They know they could talk to me differently to anyone else. And they think that when I ask how are they actually think I care. You know, just foolish people. You know, but when you're connected with God, he'll put you in the right place at the right time to be used by him, and they'll see God's love coming out at you. Like if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, turn over to Galatians one time in chapter 5, verse 22, 23, the first part of the fruit of the Spirit is love. And Paul, he's the type of guy who says, look, if you've got everything else, and that's pretty impressive, right? But you don't have love, you got nothing. Just noisy gong. Okay? So here we see that being connected, Jesus produces fruit. It doesn't say you may produce fruit or sometimes you produce fruit. But if God's really in you through the Holy Spirit, we're in God. And we'll start being Jesus to other people. Despite our sinfulness, God will use us to bring blessing to people around us. And he does. It's like, I don't want you guys to just, you may not be able to afford it, but went to a church last year, and they've got 32 people in it. 32. I counted them. Didn't count you guys, too many. And it's the gospel church, you know, Four Square Gospel? Right? Went away, and Peter Huxley, when he used to be here, he said to me, ah, something's happened. They've just donated $6,000 to the scripture board. And I thought, there's 32 people. How'd they do that? They got God's love in their heart. And they thought, let's support that. And they did. You're another one of the churches because I'm your missionary. They're going to school, and I don't even worry about whether or not I get paid or not because I know the love goes through you, God, to you, to me, and I go to the kids. And I say, they really care about you. Which makes a big difference. We're made clean because of what Jesus has done through his word. We know that Jesus is the only way. Even this morning, hard to explain to little kids that Jesus is the only way. But when they worked out, the only person who could actually give them chocolate was me. That made me pretty unique. All right? And they all got chocolate. Danielle got chocolate. Everyone got chocolate. They loved it. All right? But the only one who can make us right with God is Jesus. And when we are right with God, we start having the Holy Spirit in us and we start bearing fruit for God. We start loving people, not with our love, but with God's love. And it's really strange because he changes the way we think. And they pick it up. You can ask the kids, at Warhope, whenever I take a class now, they behave. Doesn't matter what it is. And the kids will say, "Oh, Mr. Abbott, everyone loves you." And I think, you know why? Because they're tasting God's love through my life. It's not me. But they're thinking, we know something different about you, and it comes out to us, and we really like that. And so we like you. See, chocolate's really important. It really is. And we love chocolate, right? But if you think about it, we have something greater than chocolate to give people. We have God's love. And it impacts people more than what you will know. The last thing on there, and I might cut this short because I know I have to finish soon, but when Jesus says, "I'm the true vine," you probably know Israel was known as a vineyard, right? And it was God's garden. If you want to go back a bit further, you know, the Garden of Eden, okay? God makes a garden. It's all about gardens in the Bible. And it's a great garden because God's in charge and it's based on love. And you can't have love without trust. You destroy trust in a relationship, you can't have love for each other. It just goes. They're connected. And so when Adam and Eve decide not to trust God anymore, they were saying, "We've chosen not to love you." Because you love someone, you listen to them, and you do what is best for the other person. But that were sin is where you do what's best for yourself, seemingly so, and it tends to be deceitful and it's not really best for you at all. And then so God calls a nation, the Israelites, together, and he says they're his vineyard. And the Father looks after it. He looks after the garden, which is Israel, but Israel keeps on failing. They're supposed to love God and keep his commands. Sometimes they do. And then they go away from him again. And when Jesus comes on the scene, he lives the life that Israel couldn't. The whole time loves God, keeps God's commands. And so then, as he's now the vine, he calls us to be part of his church. We're made right because of him. He's not made right because of us. And when we are right with God, it shows in the way what comes out of our lives. In the Bible, it says in 1 John, you can't say you love God and hate your brother. You just can't. And so if you might be wonderful at so many things, but we can ask the Holy Spirit to really strengthen the love that we have for each other, and that will make a difference. Second point is being connected to Jesus produces effective prayer. It really does. Verses 5-8. It says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." I don't know if I told you this last time, but it's worth a repeat. Last year, But I'm driving to Warhope because it's really hard to walk. It's a long way from Tyree. And I'm praying. I said, "Lord, can you please open a door for me to witness to the young people today, to communicate with the young people at the school?" Had the period off before lunch. And being a godly man as I am, I thought about lunch. And I thought, I could go to the canteen before everyone else gets there and get the nicest, my wife's looking, fruit salad. Yes, fruit salad on a bun with a bit of cheese and a bit of meat. Yep. Anyway, and there I am thinking that. I'm thinking, you know, I've been a very godly man as I am. So I go to the canteen. And there's been this massive storm and all the power is out at the school. Now, I didn't know. The door of the canteen where everyone has to come in has a little opening thing. It's electronic. So you open the door and it stays open, right? But without power, it wouldn't. So I decided, can I stand here and actually keep the door open, right? So I stood there and I thought, I can stand this, right? And so I've got the door open and about 100 kids come past me, about this far away from me, And they all know I'm the scripture guy, so they'll start talking to me about different stuff about God. And at the end of the day, I'm driving home and I'm thinking, that's pretty cool. And then I thought about the prayer. Lord, can you open a door for me so I can actually, you know, reach out and talk to the kids at the school? And he's like, can I make it any more obvious? See what I'm saying? But that's effective prayer, because effective prayer is praying for the heart of God. He wants to come and seek and save the lost. I'm not going to pray for things that are against his will. I can't pray in Jesus' name that I get a brand new car, all right? Because that's not in Jesus' name. But I can pray, can you make me more loving like you? That's a prayer he'll answer, all right? We submit ourselves more to him every day. So basically, here when it says connected, Jesus produces effective prayer, that's what we need to be doing. Really surrendering ourselves to think, you know, Jesus, please use me today, and he will. And at the end, thank him, because he chooses to. Imagine a vine where branches and you get the fruit, and lovely things like grapes. I don't think grapes at the end of the day go, well, the vine is so blessed to have me. You know, what would the vine do about me? You know what I mean? I'm just absolutely a grape person, you know? And probably a bunch of other things they might want to say. But when we get back down to it, we know without the vine, you never get the grapes. And without being connected to Jesus, which only been done through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we can never bear godly fruit. So when we do, we don't praise ourselves about how wonderful we are, but we think how awesome and gracious our God is, which is really amazing. Anyway, next point. Connected to Jesus produces God's love. It goes without a doubt. If you think about Jesus, I mean, you can ask, what held Jesus on the cross? Does anyone know? Sin? Sin held him? No? Okay. Anything else? Yeah. God's love held him on a cross. The biggest temptation was actually when he was on the cross. The religious leaders, I'll raise my voice slightly, and where we go to church at night, Josh at this point turns the microphone off. But I won't yell. I'll just make out I'm yelling, okay? So just bear in your mind it's yelling, but I'm not going to really yell. You know, when Jesus on the cross, they looked up at him and said, so if you really are God, come down from the cross now, and then we'll believe in you. He tempted because he could have done that. He had the power to do that. When he was arrested, Peter chopped off a guy's ear and he said, look, I've got legions of angels at my disposal to call upon like that. But no, that's not God's way. I need to do this. And in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. And that's what it's all about. That he gave his one only son, so that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. The love held him there. Does anyone know, what does 1 John 3:16 say? Yeah, sensible guy at the back's looking up the Bible. And that's the best thing to do. Anyone? 1 John 3:16. Now, my brother at the back, do you want to read it out? You forgot it? 1 John 3:16. I'll read it. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So again, as I said earlier, the benchmark of how we love isn't based on other people. Or, you know, I love better than him. He doesn't love very well at all. Look at him. But compare ourselves to Jesus. Are you willing to lay down your lives for each other in this church? Because if you are, you're loving perfectly like Jesus. If you're not quite there yet, maybe we should be surrendering ourselves more to the Spirit and say, Spirit, can you please fill me with your love? The love that comes from Jesus. So that when people see me, they'll see your love. And then they want to know more about you. If you want to be a good witness, that's why young people listen to me at the school. Because they know I care about them. they pick it up really quick. You meet people out in the street, you witness to them, you talk to them about Jesus, they're going to want to know, am I important to you? Because if you really do represent Jesus, I'll be very important to you. But if I'm not important to you, what you're teaching is ridiculous. Mentions about joy. Joy is different to happiness. Happiness comes and goes. Joy is a fact that you know you have eternal life. You know that, you know what can actually take you away from God's love? One word. Anyone? Sin? Okay, you might be right there. But once you have been forgiven for your sins, and once you're called by God and you're a born-again Christian, do you know what can actually separate you from the love of God? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Romans 8, 38, 39 says this, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. That should bring joy, shouldn't it? Everything else can disappear in our lives. The ones we love most can disappear. Our possessions can disappear. But our relationship with God is eternal. And it's not based on us. Otherwise we'd be really scared. But it's based on God. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. So relevant, isn't it? Not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm just going to finish up. If we look at our lives and think, if we are connected to Jesus, he's a vine, we're the branches. We are bearing fruit for God. Doesn't matter what's happening in our lives, we don't compare ourselves to someone else. Everyone bears fruit. Matt does not like being deputy at the moment. I love him being deputy at the moment. To have him on the executive, having a Christian brother there. I know if someone says to an executive, oh, let's get rid of scripture, he'll say no. Let's not get rid of scripture. It's really important. He will be God's voice in the executive at that school. So you might be thinking, why am I doing this? And I'm going, praise God, he is. So when you talk to him next time, just let him know that he's doing a fantastic job at the school. Because he may not hear that. He hears about all the problems, all the things he can worry about, not realizing he's bearing fruit for God in a mighty way at that school. And he encourages me sometimes when I miss out. He says, come with me before school and we'll pray. And he prays for me. And I go back out and I see God bearing fruit. And I think that's because Matt's been faithful and he's prayed for us. All right? I may not say it to his face. I might think he's a horrible person to his face. But behind his back, I'm nice to him. All right? That's the type of guy I am. All right? Say nicely behind your back. Just not to your face. So I'm going to pray for us now that we can really be effective to know that God's in us through the Holy Spirit and he wants to keep on loving people around us. And that is something people are going to listen to when they know, they see in us what Christianity is all about, a relationship with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us so much, that you called us out of darkness to be in your light. You called us out of death to have eternal life, and you called us not just to hang on until judgment day, but to bear fruit for you as you work through us, in particular the love that you have for the world. And I pray, Lord, that we will stop trusting in things of the world and really put our trust in you. Stop worrying about things of the world and allowing you to be the one that just guides us every step of the way. So, Lord God, thank you that you truly are the vine. And thank you that we are your branches. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, do we finish up with benediction or something? Or we just say goodbye? What do we do now? Okay. Okay, everyone, we're going to see you next week. So make sure you have a fantastic week. Thanks for coming to church. There we go. Clap for everyone.